Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Big Brother Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always, I'm here to talk with you Big Brother 17 with some different Big Brother house guests on robhasawebsite.com. This week, I'm joined by two favorites from Big Brother Canada 2. First, I am joined by a man who likes to expose himself inappropriately, and he was known as the Hitman before there was It's Arlie Chabanne, ladies and gentlemen. Arlie, how you doing?
I'm doing amazing, Jordan. Happy to be here. Always a fan of talking about Big Brother, so ready to get it on.
Get it on!
All right, and second, you may have heard his voice already, we have a man who likes to touch himself in his bathing suit area. He's the winner of Big Brother Canada 2. It's the JP that doesn't suck, ladies and gentlemen. It's John Party. John, how you doing?
What's up, guys? Good to be here. You know, it's been a great day. And now we're going to talk some Big Brother. Let's do it. Like that?
That was amazing. Wow.
I might take that tone for the majority of my podcast from now on. Just keep the tempo up.
That sounded like one of Peely's cheers from Big Brother Canada 3. That was really good, John. I'm impressed.
I've been watching Kevin Twitch a lot and Peely's voice in the background a lot, so I've been trying to practice.
Oh, Peely. We love Wilson.
I love
Peely's great. Peely's great. Yes. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in and joining us on this show today. And thank you for listening. As always, if you want to subscribe to this podcast and support us, you can do so by going to robhasawebsite.com/happy hour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. Okay. And today we're going to be talking about everything from Big Brother 17 that's happened this past week. So we're going to talk about Johnny Mac's eviction last night, and we're going to rewind and talk about everything that how we got there and how all that stuff happened. But before we get into that, guys, both of you have recently moved, and I think the Big Brother fans out there want to know how all that stuff went. So, John, let's start with you. So you recently moved to London. How's the move been and how you doing?
The UK has been great. It's been
London, Ontario, for those who do not know, in Canada.
It's good. I'm attending Fanshawe this coming September. Going to do broadcast journalism, same as my boy JP here.
Attaboy.
And the move has been good. It's definitely, like, you look at the last 2 years of my life, I went from Newfoundland to downtown Toronto and out of London, Ontario. So it's been definitely a hectic 2 years. But again, it's been such a fun ride, and we're just continuing that right now with this move.
That's awesome, man. Now, I saw you tweet that your first night in London, you got punched in the face. Is that correct?
First night in London, I did get punched in the face. It was, I'll tell you the story, kind of what happened. So I was walking by, we were just walking home, was about to go home. And anyways, these two girls were trying to fight, they were fighting.
Oh,
anyways,
wow.
And then I seen a guy try to get into the girl. So I was like, no, man, no. I was like, you can't do that. You can't get between two girls. Anyways, the two girls stop the fight. One of those girls just charges at me, smokes me like two times in the face. I didn't know who it was, so I looked around and I was like, oh, man. I looked her square in the eyes and she spit in my face.
She spit in your face?
I was like, what's happening?
Yes, John gets beat up by girls. That's the moral of the story.
I was confused.
And then she poked him right after she beat him off. Like, that's the worst.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Jeez, now I know to avoid London at all costs. I didn't realize
this is the worst advertisement for London ever.
Yeah, London tourism might have a word with you.
Yeah, right.
Podcast.
Yeah, literally. Watch that. We're just getting flooded with tweets from London. Like, no, our city's so safe.
We don't have random girls having catfights that punch John Party in the face. No, we don't do that.
And spit in your eye.
All right. Yeah, Jesus. Spit. I just hate that. It's just uncomfortable. I mean, the punch is one thing, but the spit.
Topped it off. She got her licks in for sure.
All right. Okay. Well, so John is recovering from being punched in the face and being spat on. Arlie, you recently moved. You picked up your life. You moved from Stouffville all the way out to the West Coast to the 604 proper. And word on the street is you're living with the Ginger Ninja, the legend himself. Is that true?
This is true. I do have to say, we definitely should have asked me first and then gone into John's getting beat up story. That's just way better than anything that's happened to me. But yeah, I road trip from Ontario all the way out to BC, stopped off at a bunch of different house guest places along the way. Like I was at a Nick's, and then I went to Johnny's and Kevin's and Adele's and Sarah's, and now I'm here with Greg. So it's been quite the adventure, and I'm liking the new life. Getting settled.
Yeah, nice having family all over the world, eh?
It's real nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's probably the best part about being on Big Brother is you have all these random places across Canada, the U.S., wherever, and you just you got a place to stay. It's awesome.
You can literally drive like around North America, and we'd have somewhere to stay pretty much everywhere we went. Like,
yeah, seriously. It's awesome. Yeah,
that's insane to think about. It's awesome.
It's crazy. Arlie, is it true that the Ginger Ninja's house is indeed proper?
Yes, honestly, it is true.
Proper.
Very proper.
All right. That's awesome. Okay.
Actually showed me the place today. It's absolutely gorgeous.
All right. Yeah, I need to see this place because I'm not too far from you, Arlie. So.
Oh yeah, we'll make it happen.
We need to have a party at Ginger Ninja's house, and we got to invite some of these London girls over, and we can have a good time.
No. Yeah, we can have John on Skype there too.
That's what we'll do. Is keep me like up on a mantle like all night, and I'll just be like.
That would actually be hilarious. Imagine you were just at your apartment, like drinking.
Oh my god!
Like, well, I got to see you guys too. Like you guys were dancing, we were all having a great time.
Yeah.
Oh man, that would be great. Oh, okay. We're gonna make it happen. September. We're gonna make it happen. Okay, guys. All right, so let's get into some Big Brother 17 talk here. So this show is live and interactive as always. So if you want to leave us a question, you can tweet us using the hashtag RHAP, or you can leave us a comment in the YouTube video, and we will hopefully answer some of your questions towards the end of this show, and that'll be awesome. So as always, we're going to start by discussing everything that happened on the TV show last week, and then we're going to fast forward a little bit. We're going to talk about what's been going on in the live feeds, who came back into the house, who won HOH, all that jazz. So should be a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to this, guy. So this is going to be great. So
we have a beard off.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, we can have a beard off at the end of this.
Send out the tweets, say art to your fave, John or Gordon.
or Arlie, really. Look, Arlie's got a little bit of a beard going on.
But
too.
See, this is Arlie probably shaved this morning. Like he's this guy goes chia pet, like it's crazy.
I wanted this beard off.
RT for John, fave for JP, ignore for Arlie.
All right, there we go.
I win.
That.
Aliens of ignorers.
Oh man, chia pet. That's such a great reference. Chia pet. Oh man, yeah. Keep those tweets coming during the show. Who has the best beard? We love that. Okay, so last night we saw Johnny Mac, the rock star dentist. He got evicted unanimously by the hands of Austin. But let's rewind a little bit here. So this week's HOH competition, it was a new one. It was refreshing to see. So we had all the house guests square off in this sort of sprinting competition. They had to put their hands on these buttons and they couldn't twitch in the slightest way. Otherwise, they get eliminated, similar to the HOH competition that Rochelle won on your guys' season of Big Brother Canada. And Austin ultimately won Head of Household by beating James in the final round. Now, heading into that competition, Austin and the twins had a deal with pretty much every single person in the house. Now, Arlie, as someone who had deals with pretty much everyone in the house on your season, what did you think about Austin going for this HOH win here?
I didn't mind it, to be honest. I get the logic in not winning it either, but I feel like it's at the point in the game where all the people he has a deal with, if he didn't win and they're sitting in power, they could be like, wait a minute. Like, if we get them another week, then we're just idiots. So I get why he won it. And he just kind of had to make the move that he thought was going to get him and the twins further, because he's in a pretty good position right now.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're right, John. It's crazy, but he is in a pretty good spot, is he not?
Literally, yeah, of course he is. I don't think he's on anyone's radar right now to take out, is he?
Very rare when there will be a huge physical man with three girls around him, and the three girls are bigger targets than him. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, just even a big physical man in general. I mean, we've seen so many times Austin, he's like a Frank Udy from Big Brother 14. He's a beast. He's a huge, this huge physical guy, and nobody wants to go after him. It's amazing. And I think he's done a great job so far. If he would have thrown that competition, though, say he would have let James win that, John, do you think, because of Austin's social game and what he's been doing, do you think James would have taken a shot at Austin? Or do you think he would have gone after a Vanessa or a Johnny Mac or Steve?
I think even if Austin didn't win, he was probably sitting pretty, pretty anyway. I think if any of the other people won the other side of the house, Vanessa was probably going to be the target. If Vanessa or the twins won, Austin's not going to be the target. But again, when you win HOH and you run the risk of somebody else sitting in that room and everyone wanting to make sure they're safe, everyone's going to be talking to you. If it's not Austin and someone realizes, like, oh, I have a deal with Austin, the HOH is like, oh, I have a deal with Austin too. I don't know. That exactly, could be a scenario. Yeah. Like, that's where I see, like, it could be a little risky throwing that HOH. Because again, when you're HOH, you get a lot of information. People talk to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could hurt them.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I feel like at the end of the season, it's going to be interesting seeing how Austin and the Twins do. But I think that HOH win is going to be pivotal in determining the final outcome of this season and who ultimately ends up winning this game.
I think so also.
Yeah, so we saw Austin later in the diary room after he wins this HOH and he's talking in the third person about Judas and all these, his decision-making process and all this stuff. He says that he has alliances with everybody in the house and he has to decide who he wants to stick with, who he wants to keep safe. And he ultimately decides that he wants to keep Meg and James around because he really likes hanging out with them. He genuinely really likes them. Arlie, does this mean that James and Meg have the best social games in the house right now? The fact that because Austin didn't really want to go after them, or just because Austin's an idiot, is that why he didn't go after them?
I believe James has the best social game in the house.
Hands down.
I wouldn't group Meg in that category. She's kind of just getting whirlwinded around by the house, I think.
Do you group her by association, though, because she's with James?
No, they're just friends and they get along. Her whole alliance got annihilated, and she's only not been annihilated because she sucked in her alliance. Like, that's the way I look at it. Yeah. James didn't suck in that alliance and has stayed because of his social status. So he's like, James is killing it right now. And the fact that everyone wants to align with them, like, I don't see him or Meg going anywhere for the next few weeks. And James is in the best position in this game, and I feel like has the best chance to win. And I'm the biggest fan of James out of anyone.
6-0-4 in the house!
Oh, man,
oh, breaking news!
I'm so glad. I'm so glad I'm part of this podcast. I'm so happy.
Whoa! What was that?
That was mind blowing. Right. I was sending a tweet, and I was like, "Don't you hear me right now? What's going on?"
All right. Wow. Breaking news. If you're listening to this in the audio archives, we just had an appearance by the Ginger Ninja himself, 604 Proppa. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I just feel like a little kid who had Santa Claus come on Christmas. Yeah. It's
better
amazing. It's better than Santa. It's the Ginger Ninja. Oh, my goodness. Well, definitely, if you're listening to this in the audio archives, come back and watch this on YouTube because it's amazing seeing the Ginger Ninja. He's great.
He's good looking, too. Is the guy working out?
No, he is.
He's looking good. He's looking good. He's looking proper, man. He's looking real proper. I've had a few people tweet me saying, man, Ginger Ninja's looking real good these days.
Looking good, man.
So there you go. back to what we were talking about. back to the BB17. So we were saying, do you guys think that James is playing the best social game? Could it be said, though, that Austin is playing the best social game? Because the guy hasn't been nominated a single time. And we mentioned earlier that this guy is a huge physical threat and nobody's really considering him. So, John, do you think that Austin deserves to be in that discussion?
I don't know. I guess anytime like you're not the target because of anything, like, I don't know. Yeah, he's not the target. So I guess you can chop up through a social game. But like even me watching him interact in the house, he'd be someone who, one, I wouldn't enjoy having around. I don't think if I was in the house, I don't think I'd enjoy having Austin. And two, he's huge, and he's a beast. He's a wrestler. Like, so to me, I don't know. I guess you have to throw up a social game because if I was in there, I think if anyone else was in there, obviously you three, I think he'd be a target for sure. Unless you wanted to keep like a bigger target around, I guess that scenario too. But
Yeah, I think maybe if someone like a Bruno Aiello is in the house and just wanted like a big old meat shield in front of them,
well, yeah, just wanted to veto it. If he wanted to veto it, yeah, it'd be.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean that, but yeah, I'm with you. I think I don't know if he really is, but for whatever reason, just the position he's in is that he's created for himself is awesome, and you have to tip your cap to him and say that he's been doing a great job. And Liz likes him.
Liz likes him. Like, because yeah, I was like, she punked him off for the first one. And I was like, oh, he's going to look so stupid. But now I'm like, oh, my God, she is going to look so dumb. Like,
yeah. See, I think Austin's probably playing one of the best social games. James is the best. Austin and Steve are playing epic social games, too. With Austin, yeah, he hasn't been nominated, and he's positioned himself so good. I feel like one thing that's really annoying, and I want to find out how much game this was and how real this was the week that he almost went home when Vanessa was trying to backdoor him, how he got himself out of it by just being like, Vanessa, I fell in love. I wasn't thinking with my head. It was game. I want to know how much that was actually game or how much he actually got out of game and was falling in love. And once I figure that out, then I'll be able to read his game a little
bit. So do you think like he kind of like snapped back into game or like...
Yeah, that might have been like a wake-up call for him.
Good. Yeah, literally.
Yeah, I think from seeing his HOH blog, which was posted on CBS.com, if you want to check that out this week, he just mentioned, really, he didn't talk a lot about the game. He just talked about how much he loves Liz and how great this relationship is and all this stuff is. So I think that he was being legit in that moment, Arlie, when he was saying, I'm in love with Liz. Please keep me safe. Now, though, like John mentioned, I think he's kind of woken up a little bit, but at the same time, I think it pains me to say it, but I think if he had a choice, I think he would choose Liz over the game, which is a little bit mind blowing.
I don't think he will. Clay did already. Like, he already chose the love. I don't even want to use the term love. Like, I really don't want to use that. And then this guy, anyway, again, it just blows my absolute mind how you can walk in there to play a game and get caught up in emotional. Like, again, I don't care how long I'm in there. You know the end goal is going to be $100,000 or in their case, $500,000. I don't miss love. Love. $500,000. Love.
Oh. Yeah, and that's the thing. And it's
much love? $500? That can buy a lot of love. Like, that can,
it's game show love, too. Show love is like, it's messed with your head. Only some of it's real. Other people are just messed up in there. Yeah.
Man, how many times has it been like, people were in love in the house? Like, even go back to like Gina Marie and the Nick Jonas guy. Like, just go back. And again, I don't know anything. I've never watched a season, but all I know is that the whole Gina Marie thing, like with Nick and then the whole, yeah. It's like that. And they come out and you're like, oh nope. Right?
Oh, poor Gina Marie.
I love Gina Marie.
Man, like, she's such a gem. I loved you.
Yeah. Crying over Nick's hat and his cereal box and saying, no more chicken parm for all of yous after they vote out Nick. And just, oh man, just poor GM. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that as an outsider, somebody who is just looking at this objectively and can see everything, it seems crazy. In the words of Paul Jackson, it's insane, dude. Why would anybody, why would you throw away a shot at $500,000 for love? But again, you guys know firsthand, being in that house, it messes with you. And I mean, you guys didn't really go crazy in there, but certain people
crazy.
Yeah, you didn't, but not really in terms of like love and stuff like that. I mean, your mind is crazy things when you're in there, right? So
definitely. It's a thing for me again. If, see, this is a scenario I throw in all the time too. If you sincerely think that you have true love in that Big Brother house, then they're going to understand whatever you have to do to win the game, it's a game. If that's true love, they're going to get it. 100%.
Exactly.
If it's not true love, they can be like, oh, you cut me, like, you're out. Then it wasn't true love. Like, get real.
Exactly. That's 100%. And I think that's actually a great point, John. And that's a perfect way to look at it because, yeah, if for whatever reason, if Austin's in, it gets to final three and he's with Meg and Liz and he decides, okay, I'm going to cut Liz so that I can take Meg and guarantee myself $500,000. And if Liz afterwards says, oh, well, you cut me in. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I never want to do you again. Like,
yeah. Then he knows it's not legit.
Then if it is love, this guy gets $500,000 and the girl. Like, there's no, just I don't get it.
Yeah, it's crazy. But again, Big Brother House makes you do some crazy things. And Austin has fallen a victim to the syndrome that is being a Big Brother House guest. And I feel bad for him. And after he gets out of the show, he said on the feeds how much he thinks that he's going to be loved and how him and Liz are the new Brenchel and all this stuff. But no, he's going to be in for a rude awakening, and I feel bad for him.
He's definitely going to be in for a rude awakening. He has no clue.
Yeah, but anyway, okay. So Austin, ultimately, he's wavering on who he wants to nominate, and he knows he wants to put up Johnny Mac, and it comes down to Vanessa.
Put it back in?
Sorry for her.
No, it's all good, man. So
Give me one sec.
Yeah, it sounds good. So John is going to bounce out for a sec. He'll join us in a sec. Okay, Arlie, I'm going to ask you this. So Vanessa and Steve are the targets this week for Austin. He needs to decide which one he wants to put up next to Johnny Mac. He ultimately lands on Steve. Do you think that was the right move? I know a lot of people online were really upset that he didn't go after Vanessa this week, but do you think that it was smarter keeping someone in his, that's a big target in front of him and keep her in the game?
1,000,000,000% it was the right move for his game. Everyone who is mad about it is because they want Vanessa out, which I get. I get why the fans want her out, but it's because they like Steve more than they like Vanessa, not because it was better for Austin's game, because it wouldn't have been better for Austin's game. Vanessa, I don't think will target him right away if she wins HOH. I guess we'll have to see who wins HOH to figure that one out.
We will talk about that on the live feed.
That's the end when we talk about live feed for sure. And then, so it's an interesting scenario. I think it's the right move, but it's getting to that point in the game where Austin and the twins are going to get targeted by everyone. So is it going to be this week? Is it going to be next week? He may have bought himself next week. I still don't think getting Vanessa out would have been the right move because the other people still would have targeted him if she doesn't do it. Like, yeah, it's just interesting. We'll see.
Yeah,
I think it was the right move. What do you think about that move, though?
Yeah, I think it's hard. At first, I thought maybe backdoor, but you know what? I think the position that Austin has put himself in, I wish that him and the twins wouldn't have bashed Vanessa so much to the other house guests in the previous week, so that way they didn't have information to potentially sell out Austin and the twins to Vanessa later down the road to say, hey, Austin and the twins were talking smack about you all this time. They were forming all these other deals. They were doing this other stuff. You need to be careful. But I do think that ultimately that was the correct decision, keeping Vanessa in the game, because she's a bigger target in front of them. And depending on who comes back into the game, Vanessa is somebody who people want to target. Clearly, Shelly was very upset with Vanessa. Yeah. Jackie was very upset with Vanessa. Becky has talked about, when she was in the show or in the house, she was saying she was gunning for Vanessa hard. After she got voted out, she said, maybe I'd be open to working with Vanessa. But Arlie, you know what it's like being in jury house. It's people poisoning your mind very easily about certain things. And if you keep hearing the same thing over and over and over again, because you just talk game all the time, Becky was bound to probably be anti-Vanessa as well. So I think for Austin, just keeping it simple, putting up Steve and Johnny Mac, I think that was the way to go. I think the best move probably would have been Megan James, but if you're going to choose two of those three, I think that Johnny Mac and Steve were the correct duo amongst them. Now, before his nominations, Arlie, Austin had this really bizarre speech, and it was incredibly long-winded, and he said, everybody's going to die someday, and I'm on a quest for knowledge, and Johnny Mac and Steve are victims just like he is, because he was going to be backdoored in week 5 or whatever the hell it was. And he just went on and he throws his Judas hat off and all this crazy stuff. On a scale of Sabrina Abate to Emmett Bloys, where does this speech rank for you in Big Brother history?
In Big Brother history, it'd be on the upper end of speeches, but not just because the vast majority of speeches aren't anything special. They're just a random speech.
So you liked it, Arlie?
I liked it. The thing I liked most about it, though, is what his logic before the speech. I'm not going to go do an average speech. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do some weird, funky thing. We're talking about the speech now. It's a weird, I don't know if he executed it as well as he wanted to.
Oh my God. Are we talking about the Austin speech?
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, and I'm glad he did it, because I like it when people try. I like when people just try in there rather than not try.
But would you rather try look like an absolute moron or like?
I don't think he looked that.
Yeah, I think cool I listened. Speech. See, I listened to a speech and I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
But people also like, I don't know. If you listen to a lot of weird philosophy in speeches, it wouldn't make sense. Like maybe he had maybe that was from somewhere. I don't know. You never know what it meant.
Okay. Well, I asked Arlie this question, John, before you came back. And for those listening to the audio archives, John is back.
Yeah. Welcome. Thank you, guys.
Welcome back, John. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome, appreciate everyone. It.
And John, on a scale of Sabrina Abate to Emmett Blois,
I like this.
Where would you rank Austin's speech? In Big Brother history, what would you give it out of on that scale? Where would you put it?
So I don't know who. Like, I don't know. To me, Sabrina gave some crazy, outrageous speeches. Like her speeches sometimes were kind of good. Like Joanna, go home, your dog loves you. Like that was kind, like that was fun. Like it was a good speech. I don't know how many speeches Emmett's given, but it was. I thought his speech. I hated it honestly. Like it was one. I thought it made no sense. I was trying to follow it, and I didn't get it at all. Like we were talking about life, we're all victims or something. Like
it just, he said everyone's going to die. I'm on a quest for knowledge, and everyone's a victim, just like he is, and that's why Johnny Mac and Steve got caught in the crosshairs.
You're not Moby Dick. Like, settle down. You're not Moby Dick.
I love it because we're talking about it right now, and that's why people do weird speeches.
But he's going to come out, and he's going to be like, people talk about your speech, and they're all calling you an absolute moron.
I'm not, though. Like, you guys are, or like you are. Other people think it's cool and fun. I thought it was awesome.
Anyone who thought it was cool. Everything I seen from Twitter, they were like, oh, weird.
Twitter hates Austin. If Johnny Mac gave that verbatim speech, 100% Twitter would have blown up and loved it. 100%. What do you think, Jordan? Do
you
think
that's actually a really good point.
I was just thinking it too.
I mean, I don't think they would love it. I think they would be like, I think they'd be like, what the hell is that? But they wouldn't be like, oh, that's the worst speech I've ever heard. Whereas Austin did it and everyone's just like, oh, that's so terrible. So, yeah, I mean, I do hear where you're coming from. I feel like Austin is in this spot now where he can really do anything and everyone's just going to just crap all over him and say that he sucks and he's the worst. Yes. Austin.
And on top of that, though, I don't hate Austin like everyone does. Like, I know everyone hates Austin, and like I said, I give him the second best social game. I fully respect the game he's playing. He did have a really big hiccup with the falling in love thing, and that's the part that's eating away at me, because he actually might give the game to Liz when push came to shove because he's in love, but that doesn't take away the fact that he's playing one of the best games this season.
But does it not? Okay, so if I hadn't have cut Netta, would it be a detrimental to my game?
Like, but you weren't playing as good a game as him up till that point. He's playing a really good game. Like,
Okay, so what if Netta had taken me? You said I would have won. Like, it's.
Yeah, it would have sucked, but she still would have played one of the best games our season. That's what I'm saying.
But like,
if she took you, she would have played the second best game this season, and you would have played the best.
Okay, yeah, but that's okay. Second best. Yeah, if you're playing for second best, for sure.
But I'm just saying, I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah,
I don't actually know. And I'm saying that's the only part that eats away at me, is that he might do that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take away the fact that up till this point, he's played one of the best games, if not the best.
True, but would that throw away, if he didn't, would that throw away everything he's done?
Because he would throw away a lot of it, yeah. But we don't know exactly what he's going to do.
Yeah, I hear that. I understand that.
Yes.
There we go. Some interesting debate here. Listening, it's just very cool for me still hearing you guys talk about this. Because I mean, I'm still a fan of you guys, and hearing you talk about the John versus Netta thing.
You should just hear awesome. Like me and Arlie. It's a steady. It's a daily thing.
Man, that's awesome. I love it. I wish I would have
fun.
Okay. All right. So the Wednesday episode, guys, we saw the return of the Zing bot, and nobody really got zinged too badly.
Besides Austin.
Austin and Liz got zinged for Austin having a girlfriend. Julia got zinged because she is, I think it was the less attractive, less funny or something version of Liz.
But big deal.
Yeah, so there was that. But otherwise, nothing too bad. Do you wish that they would have zinged the people a little bit more, John?
I was kind of fine, but you never want to go into, I think once, if they had a zing bot that went in and really opened up on these house guests, I think that opens up a whole new world for everyone else to open up on them too. I think that it might open like a whole fans watching it past. So I might become like, oh, zing bot, like CBS zing bot just ripping these guys, like screw them. Right?
That's a really good point. I agree with you.
I think he went within his means. I think he's the biggest thing he had again was the Austin zing, and that cut deep and that causes controversy. But of course, that's a huge thing. It's a huge part of the season where this guy may not have a girlfriend outside of the house. And now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's something that's fair game because.
Yeah, I think, of course.
Yeah, right? I mean, he has a girlfriend. Arlie, now you're a huge Big Brother super fan like myself. What is your favorite zing of all time?
All time favorite zing.
That's a great question.
Yeah, John, do you have one as well?
The only time I've ever heard a zing about ever was when they showed it like on CBS, like his past or on Twitter, his past zings. And I love the Amanda McCray mail yourself with the tramp stamp. I was like,
that one was good. That's a good one.
It was awesome.
What's yours, Jordan? What's yours?
My personal favorite is when in Big Brother 14, when the Zingbot came in the house and said
Danielle.
Yes,
that's probably got to be it.
Yeah,
that's so good.
Training order.
She took so much offense. She took so much.
She's like, offense. I hate the Zingbot.
So funny. Danielle, I heard Shane has a gift to give you at the end of the season. A restraining order. Zing. And I was just like, got her mouth open and she's
so
like,
mad.
That was so funny. I honestly think, like, in the moment, I think Daniel Murphy thought he was going to say an engagement ring or something. And all of us at home knew it was coming. And it was bam.
What a roller coaster that is.
Oh, so good. I'm so glad the Zingbot didn't come into the house during Big Brother Canada, because I would have just got completely eviscerated and I probably wouldn't have been able to live it down. So the Zingbot's great.
I missed that. What did you say?
I said, I'm glad that the Zingbot does not come into the Big Brother Canada house, because I probably would have got ripped to shreds and I probably wouldn't be asleep at night.
You only have 1 week. You were one of the weirdest cases. Again, we're not going to be 17, but you're one of the weirdest cases for me, where in my mind, you're one of the brightest Big Brother players coming in, like, that's played the game coming in. And that 1 week was one of the biggest mistakes that's been made. And I was like, oh, and it just goes to show to everyone who's going to audition, I don't care how smart you are in the game of Big Brother, the minute you get comfortable in that house, no, don't. Stay with your smart Big Brother senses. Like, keep doing that. And again, that's a little Jordan Parhar.
No, thank you. Yeah, thank you, John. I appreciate that, man. But no, it's true. And honestly, yeah, for future people thinking about playing this game, something to think about is, no matter, you know, you can look at Big Brother like chess. If you make 40 good moves, but then all of a sudden you make one really bad move, those 40 good moves you made before that, they don't really matter anymore, because
you're done.
That one bad move can ruin your whole thing. So it doesn't matter. It's not a counting contest of, I had this good move and this one and this one. No.
It's hard to play Big Brother, though, because it's almost like nobody ever really goes through the game without making mistakes. Just a matter of how big the mistake was and what's the repercussions of the mistake.
It's all just about the repercussions of the
mistake. That's it.
It doesn't even matter if it's the biggest mistake in the world.
Everything is repercussions, yeah.
Well, and speaking of that, we can talk about something else here, and that is Vanessa ends up winning this power veto, and she wins it in a pretty convincing fashion. She decides not to use it, though. So if she did, however, decide to use that veto, she really could have screwed over Austin, forcing him to put up James or Meg, and then potentially we could have seen one of those guys go home this past week instead of Johnny Mac. Now, John, would you have liked to have seen that, to see Vanessa use that veto to screw over Austin, similarly to how Allison used her secret veto during your season, forcing you to put up Adele next to Arlie? Would you have liked to have seen that?
Back to my season, I thought that she was using the veto on Arlie, and I was like, well, this is the quickest, like, nom and right back off ever in the history of anything. Like,
I love that week.
Anyways, moving on. What was the question again, Jordan?
We can forget about that question. But yeah, sorry, Arlie. But the question was, should do you think it would have been good for Vanessa to use that veto on?
I don't. I think Vanessa is. Well, Johnny Mac has kind of been against Vanessa. I think she kind of feels that too. Meg and James have never really, like, I don't know, I guess they did kind of like when James H. White, but it's never been like, Vanessa, get. I think she feels more comfortable with Meg and James than she does with Johnny Mac and Steve. And obviously, she went, like, her whole thing with Steve was stupid, but
we can get into that too. What did you guys, Arlie, what did you think about that? The Vanessa bullying tactic of Steve saying, basically just saying to him, oh, well, why'd you do this? And did you start this deal? And what happened? And then Steve's just like, and he doesn't know what to do and he has no way to react. Did you,
can I say one thing first?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
This is, Arlie is literally the perfect dynamic of what he did in our season, where it doesn't matter if you think someone is going home this week, next week, if they're absolutely screwed, you never, ever burn that bridge. You never, ever be like, hey, screw you, you're going home, cool. You don't, because if something happens or he comes back in the house, Arlie covered his bases. I was in trouble a few weeks. Arlie was still made it seem like he's like, hey, yo, bro, me, you, like, cool, whatever. You know what I mean? So it's, and to you, Arlie, I just want to say that was the way you played that, I think was, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I agree, Arlie, 100%. And I mean, we were talking about this at lunch yesterday, Arlie. If, I mean, you survived that week, we could be talking about Arlie Chabanne, the winner of Big Brother Canada 2, yeah. Not John Party. But, yeah, you know, that's the great thing about Big Brother is one little thing can completely just change everything, which is awesome. That's why I love the game so much. But anyway, okay, let's fast forward a bit. So the nominations stay the same, and up until the 11th hour, the house guests hadn't really decided. They hadn't decided who they wanted.
Wait, one sec. You asked me about Steve and John.
Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah. Let's get into that.
Sorry, I was telling you about that.
Don't worry, I was going back to it. because Vanessa reminds me too much of Sabrina in certain ways. Like.
And that's why I wanted to bring that up, was because it's crazy. She's playing this
game. Not in gameplay.
But there's hints of it in there, right?
Yeah, like it's more just how they think and how they're programmed, as opposed to like how they're actually playing the game. But like, because I feel like their personality comes out instead.
Oh, Arlie froze.
Vanessa. The way I'll describe Vanessa is she's the type of person who could walk up to you with a knife and stab you right in the chest. And then you take the knife out of your chest. You look her right in the face and you stab her back in the chest. And she looks at you like, why would you? You know what you see in the chest? It makes like, and it blows my mind because it's not gameplay. It's the way she actually thinks. Like, that's how she's like with Steve. She like bashes Steve all day long to everyone behind his back. Like, she uses him however she wants. And then when Steve does like things that are 10 times less as severe to her or behind her back, she loses her mind and it's like, well, he's not loyal. Like, I've never done anything. It's like, no, you have done stuff. You've been
doing this a lot.
It's crazy.
You're doing it all season, like literally all season. That's why I think people who are like, Vanessa's a great game, but I'm like, no, she's not, solely because of this fact. You can't be a good game player, I don't think, and be wear your emotions on your sleeve, be calling everyone out, be in altercations literally week after week, be the center of talk in the house. I don't think that's a good game. And again, I've watched like 3 seasons, so I'm not sure. Like,
here's the thing. I don't think that's a trademark of a great game player, but I do still think she's controlled more than anything this season, which is a trademark of a good game player.
You don't think it's a trademark of a bad player? Like, if you're in that many...
Not if you keep doing it. Like Derek.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting thing, and I agree with both of you. I think that that's not... It's definitely a bad trait to have, but... Unless it works. And you know what? Vanessa has managed to really be in a position of power for pretty much the majority of this game, and she has been controlling a lot of things in this house. So, John, I saw that a couple days ago you got into a little bit of a Twitter beef with James Ryan over, is Vanessa a good player? But you're adamant that she isn't because of this fact.
Yeah, I don't. And again, there was one tweet I sent out where it was in the game, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to give props where props is due. Vanessa did have a hand in everything so far. Vanessa is staying safe week after week. And then she goes and does the Steve thing. I literally turned my TV off for like 10 minutes. I was like, honestly, I've never watched someone who I've detested, I don't think, more as a character than Vanessa. I think she's the one for me who was like, that's the person who I... And I think it is a testament, I believe, to her game as well, that she is getting these conversations and whatnot, because I don't know. But again, it's the argument that she is in the house every week and she does have a say in everyone who goes home. So, but back to James Rhyne.
Yeah, let's get into that. Let's get into that, John.
James Rhyne was I didn't know who he was first. And I was kind of trying to figure out, because I remember I met him in Vegas one time and he walked through the doors and I was like, who is this guy? He's like 43 years old. And he's But James is – me and James had a going – I don't like – the thing for me is I don't like when people diss Big Brother Canada. I'm not a big fan of him, and especially American players who don't watch Big Brother Canada. James Rhyne hasn't watched Big Brother Canada, and he's going to judge – he's going to put his 2 cents in when – no, if you want to talk about Big Brother Canada, go watch it, and then we'll talk about the comparisons between U.S. and Canadian version. Do I think either one is easier or harder to play? No. Do I think one's a big league, little league? No. And I hate – that we get demeaned solely because they were around for 17 years.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion, and I followed your little back and forth with James, and I saw that Daniel Reyes, the greatest player to never win Big Brother, in my opinion, from Big Brother 3 US, and she chimed in and said, "Don't compare, like, it's comparing these two is like comparing chalk and cheese. Like, they're two complete, or I think she said red wine and white wine. Like, they're got some similarities, but they're different.
I don't get it.
They're two different entities. I think that there are, you know, there's obviously the core of it is similar, but I don't really necessarily think you can compare the two and say, oh, well, this one is better because of X and this one is better because of Y. I think they both do things that are, they both have their strengths, they both have their weaknesses, but they're both great. And I don't see why, you know, everybody can't just get along and we can just say, hey, we love both of these games.
I agree 100%. But like I said, the thing is for me was – and Daniel Reyes too. Yeah, she had a few choice words in that conversation too, eh?
Oh, she always does. Daniel Reyes is badass.
Yeah, I enjoy her. But her thing was – I think her thing was – I don't know. I think she kind of took my stance too because I kind of started bashing Big Brother US when he started bashing Canada. It was almost like a former player of US being like, no, screw you. Like, you know what I mean? Same way as I was with James. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, I mean, she's trading. Exactly. Yeah, you're standing up for Big Brother Canada. She's standing up for Big Brother US. But
she's great, too. I've met James, like I said, once. And met Danielle just a few times. She's great. She's an awesome girl.
She's amazing. I love Daniel Reyes. She's one of my favorites. She's awesome. Yeah,
she's awesome. Have you met her yet?
No, I have not met her. Wait
until you meet her, man. Yeah. She is the funnest. She is the funnest. Come to Reality Rally.
I will. I'll be at Reality Rally next year. What's that?
You doing Reality Rally?
Yeah, I'll be at Reality Rally.
I'm going 100%.
Yeah,
October 1st, you can sign up to the website and start getting donations.
I'm in.
All right, there we go. So, breaking news, Arlie, John, and myself will be at Reality Rally 2016. So
we're going to get absolutely crazy.
Really crazy.
Crazy.
Oh man, I hope we can get crazy like Devin last year. That'll be fun.
No, that's a little
Devin at the rally, because that was crazy.
All right. Okay. So, okay, last thing before we get into the live feed. So ultimately the house guests are debating back and forth who they want to evict. Is it Johnny Mac? Is it Steve? Is it Johnny Mac? Is it Steve? And this goes to the 11th hour and they can't decide what they want to do. Finally, they land on Johnny Mac and they vote him out. But before this, they were talking about having Johnny Mac and Steve play a game of rock, paper, scissors on the live show to determine which of them was to go home. So, Arlie, as a huge Big Brother super fan, do you think that that is quote unquote fair for them to make them play rock, paper, scissors on the live feeds? And would you have liked to have seen that? Or sorry, on the live show? Yes.
Go ahead. I like it when people try to do things that have never been done before on Big Brother. If the people in charge of the vote believed that it was literally 50-50 and they didn't care because they could use each of them equally, then that would have been epic. But if they didn't do it because it was an equal game move and it was just to look cool, I'm always about making the proper game move. So it was 50-50 and they want to make good TV, that's killer.
John, what did you think about that?
Oh, I would, like, again, it's literally exactly what Arlie just said. If it was a 50-50 toss-up, then how sweet would that have been to literally nobody even really vote? Like, hey, Julie, like, here's a scenario. We're doing rock, paper, scissors right now. Whoever wins.
They have to vote because people do secret shit in the DR.
But it would be crazy. Like, that would be nuts.
That would be amazing if Julie Chen said, by a vote of rock versus scissors. Johnny Mack, you have been evicted.
By scissors.
Yes.
Yeah. He would never play rock, paper, scissors again, and Steve would challenge everyone everywhere he went.
Oh, man. That would have been I think that would have been amazing. There were a lot of people up in arms and on Twitter and complaining and saying, oh, that's not fair if they do that, blah, blah. I think that would have been an epic moment. That would have been nuts if they would have done that. And that is one of those things. Again, we would have been talking about this for years.
Forever. Yeah. I love when people do weird, different things that haven't been done before. My biggest plan was before I went on the show, I was going to do one of those every 2 hours in the house. And then I realized, holy fuck, that will draw attention to you and potentially get you voted out of the game. How about you never do any of these crazy things you plan to do every 2 hours? Because I had a legitimate plan of being the craziest house guest. I was going to be Zach Rance, like, taking 8 Adderalls, but then I realized.
Would you get your phone smashed by Evil Dick as well, then, Arlie? Would that be part of the deal?
Me and Evil Dick are boys. He'd never smash my phone.
And if he ever fucking tried. I can't imagine a scenario where, like, the phone ever dripped out of my hand and gets the phone.
That would be amazing to see, though, if Evil Dick and he chooses maybe Evil Dick and James Ryan versus Arlie and John in a Big Brother U.S. versus Canada throwdown. I think that would be fun.
And we had to tie both our hands behind our back to make it even.
Oh, man. That would be great. I love that. I had the shield on a few weeks ago, and Alec told me that he told Nate after he got out of the house that at the reality events that Survivor and Big Brother people don't get along. They like to have rumbles and fight each other, and Nate said that he was going to help Alec fight all the Survivor people. So
see Nate right now. Survivor! Let's do it! Let's get him! We're on!
Oh, man. Nate's great. I love Nate.
Listen, I haven't seen too much of Nate. Like, honestly, I met him for like didn't meet until after the show, and met him for like a week. But to me, like, I get to drop out of the face of the earth after the show, but he seemed like a pretty legit guy to me, like, while he was hanging around. Like,
yeah, he seems like a nice enough dude. I've never met Nate.
Like, isn't he around BC somewhere?
Yeah, Arlie, I think he's in Burnaby, actually. So he's like pretty close to like you and I. So maybe Arlie.
That's baller.
Yeah, let's go make out a trip and let's go see Nate.
Nate Sandry, we're coming for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Nate, you watching, baby?
Oh, Nate's always watching for sure.
Okay.
All right. So we're gonna get into some live feed stuff here. So if you don't want to know any of the spoilers, feel free to bounce out here.
Talk to you boys next week. It's been a pleasure, fellas.
We'll see you later. You can join us again after the Sunday episode, and you can hear the rest of all this stuff and hear what Arlie, John, and I think about everything. And make sure as well to check out Rob as a Podcast Sunday night. Jason Roy will be a guest. It's going to be a great episode.
Hi.
So highly recommend it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, so spoiler time, and thanks to the Rob Has a Podcast app, I now have the spoiler music song that Rob has. So
oh, that's one beautiful. Second.
So here we go. Let's see if I can get this going. All right. Civil Defense has issued the public message. This is can you hear that?
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler. Oh, yeah.
This country has been detected, and that protective action should be taken.
There it is.
All right, the spoiler song.
This is H-O-H for the no! 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 Oh.
I love the music.
I love how Arlie just at the drop of a dime is just like, Vanessa is H-O-H, Vanessa is H-O-H.
Like, what it was like Ellen DeGeneres dropping to her couch like as soon as the music was out. I was like,
I was ready for it.
Oh, man, that was awesome. Okay, so Arlie came prepared. So
person who took an extra second to turn off their spoiler thing was like, damn it!
Yeah. I hate Arlie.
Arlie, maybe you're gonna get that angry tweet. If you are that person who was the victim of the 1 second too late spoiler victim, tweet at Arlie Chaban and send him your love, because
for future reference, when the music's done, you should get off.
All right. So last night we saw this endurance competition. They had to hang on to these ropes, and the person, we had the returning house guests come, and the last remaining person standing, whether it was a returnee or a current house guest, would become head of household. And of course, the last returnee hanging onto the rope would return into the game. So as Arlie Chabon has already spoiled for you, Vanessa is your new head of household. And surprise, surprise, Johnny Mac is your returning house guest. So we've got a little revolving door action. Johnny Mac is back in the game. Now, Vanessa was down. It was down to the final two of that competition. Johnny Mac was with Vanessa. And ultimately, Johnny Mac dropped. Vanessa made a deal with him not to put him on the block this week. So Vanessa's targets are Megan James. And I believe they have been nominated. So looks like one of them is likely going to be the one who goes home. Arlie, is this the right move going at for Vanessa to go after Megan James this week?
Probably not. I don't know. She doesn't really have anyone else. She might have to stick with the Oz twins, but like, it's hard. Honestly, Vanessa's not in that good a position right now, but I've thought that for a few weeks and she keeps getting by, so I don't really know. I don't see many options she has. It's either she does that, she openly turns on Oz twins, and if she does that, then
I don't know.
Then they're just gonna probably openly mess her up next week. It's tough. She's got a hard road to the end.
Did they cut a deal, Johnny Mac and Vanessa, when it was both of them left?
Yeah, they did. So that's why. So Johnny Mac is not, he's safe this week. Vanessa doesn't want to put him up. They have
Vanessa's holding to that, like, because to me that's risky by Johnny Mac. Like,
it is risky by Johnny Mac, but she
is coming back in the house. You have a chance to win HOH.
Here's the thing, though. I think with the comp, and we will see this on the episode on Sunday, Johnny said that he had nothing left in him, so he was going to drop anyway. So I feel like it wasn't one of those things like earlier in the season where Shelly was hanging on to the thing, and then James is like, yeah, you can drop. You're good. We got a deal. And then James is like, ah, just kidding, and then gets rid of Clay. No, it was one of those things where I think Johnny was going to fall anyway, and so that's why he went ahead with that deal. But Vanessa seems to be sticking to it, and it looks like Johnny Mac is going to be safe this week, which makes things interesting. Now, John, what do you think about this? Do you think it's right for her to go after Megan James, or do you think that Vanessa should have tried to swing a deal with Megan James as well to go after the Oz twins?
I don't know. To me right now, I'm pretty sure, didn't the house have a whole thing where like next person comes in, like whoever comes in is going right back out?
I haven't watched the live feeds incredibly closely this week, but I'm sure they had talks about something
everyone does.
Of course, we had that on our season, so yes.
With Johnny Mac, go one of two ways. I think if ever you're in a position to win HOH, when you come back into the house, then you almost 99% of the time have to take it because literally you're in the power. But then again, if he can cut a deal with someone where he doesn't have to take out anybody, someone else's HOH, he flies on the radar for a full week, and then plays in the next HOH, gets a week to like make connections, you know what I mean? So could go one of two ways. As soon as I heard that it was Vanessa that he might have cut a deal with, I was like, Vanessa hasn't been like too good at a word, like 100%. So I'm like, that's kind of risky. But if, like you said, he was about to come down anyway and he cut the deal, then that's smart by Johnny Mac for sure.
Yeah, and I think that you brought up a really good point, John, in that if he can just lay low this week and potentially win head of household next week, remember, it's going to be a double eviction. I think that's something that could really help him out, because I think that's a spot in which he could easily be voted out in that double eviction,
even having, well, Johnny Mac right now, if he wins HOH, he has 2 weeks. That guarantees him 2 weeks till the next Thursday of being in the house. That's 2 weeks to make connections. You have two full weeks where you're every single day with the same people and you get a chance to make connections. 2 weeks in that house, an extra week is like an extra year or 2 years in like real life. It gets crazy.
Doesn't guarantee him that, though, because for all we know, it could be a double next week.
It is, right?
Oh, I'm just saying.
It is a double next week. It's a double eviction.
Well, then he doesn't have 2 weeks.
That's true. Yeah, that's
I knew a double was coming up.
Yeah, no, I wasn't even thinking of a double.
That's okay. It happens. What do you guys think about? We saw, you know, Johnny Mac got voted out, and then he's having this interview with Julie, and she says, But first, Johnny Mac, who would you want to go after if you won HOH? And he says, I'd go for Meg. And he goes, says he wants to go for Meg. And I mean, to me, I was a little bit puzzled by that. And I tweeted last night that I really wanted Johnny Mac to come back into the house. And I got ripped to shreds by a ton of people because they're like, they said, oh, well, he wants to get rid of Meg and blah, blah, blah. Why would he get rid of Meg? Arlie, is there someone else you would have rather have come into the house instead of Johnny Mac? Or are you satisfied with this outcome that we had?
Oh, I would way rather have Jackie back because I honestly think I'm in love with her. But
all right, Arlie.
Jackie's beautiful.
Yeah, she is, like she Jackie is an absolute goddess. Don't get me started.
Can you interview? Like,
yeah, wait, what are we talking about again? No, honestly, I did want Jackie to come back. I think she would have stirred the game up. She was a solid little game player. Like, she went in there, she was trying, she's gorgeous, she would have been fun to get back in the game.
All right, John, what about you? Are you glad it's Johnny Mac, or would you rather have seen someone else?
No, I was cool with Johnny Mac. Again, Johnny Mac, this is the first season I've watched where I look forward to having this guy in the DR. I love hearing him speak. I love hearing his stupid stuff he does. It's so funny. It's entertainment for me. So that's what I like seeing when I'm watching. Again, I like seeing entertainment value when I'm watching the show. So Johnny Mac for me, yeah, I'm glad he's back in. I'm glad he gets another week. Yeah, not too early ass, but like a week of DRs.
I think him saying he wanted to go after Meg was stupid, though. Like, I don't see his logic behind it.
Imagine it was a fan vote.
It's just, what are you going to do? Get out non-players now? Like, you need to break up the big people who can win. Like, who, if they sit beside you in Final Two, can give a better speech than you. You need to get them out. And there's a lot of people like that in the house. There's at least Vanessa that would beat Johnny, probably James, probably Austin and Liz. Like, all four of those. He needs to target one of those four, not Meg.
But and the thing for me too was if it was a fan vote one, that's the last thing fans want to hear is that you're going to go after Meg when you go back in. Like, nobody cares. Two, just to show how Johnny Mac doesn't really is understanding what's going on this season. The guy's kind of out of the loop. Like, this guy's going to go back in and going to target Meg. Like, you can't, that goes to show. And again, I thought Johnny Mac was playing a good game, but just his interview then go to show how little he knew who was running shit. And Meg, for me, I was like, Meg's a second place. If you want to eliminate someone who could float to second place, then yeah, cool. Like, that's awesome. Then do it. But if someone's going to float to second place and you eliminate people who are going to be number one, so you can be number one instead of someone else.
But yeah. just to play devil's advocate here, if you get rid of Meg, because really, yeah, if the farther that Meg goes, the higher the likelihood it is that she is going to be in one of those final two chairs.
Green estate.
Yeah, this exactly, because that's what I mean. Look what happened to Netta on your season, right? I mean, if Sabrina would have been gone, then
and it was like Arlie and Netta, then that makes a whole different scenario in
final three, right? So I think I agree with you. Johnny Mac is definitely a little bit out of the loop in terms of what's going on, but Meg going home probably wouldn't be the worst thing for his game, because then all of a sudden Johnny Mac might fit into that role. Because
my standpoint is, if Johnny Mac is playing for second place, then hell yeah, give her. I wasn't playing for second place. Arlie wasn't. You weren't. We were playing for first. So if you wanted to eliminate someone else taking this person and you going final two and being able to give a speech, being able to, like, maybe because Johnny Mac right now is one of the weakest players in the house. If he eliminates the way weaker, then Johnny Mac needs the final two to come in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, someone might take Johnny Mac final two.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think maybe that's what he's thinking. I'm not quite sure. Again,
I think he's clueless, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he's clueless, because the thing is, if he does win the HOH, he has to start building a resume. Like, you actually have to. God has proved you can't just survive and play a good surviving game to get to the end and win, because especially the way Johnny Mac's doing it, they're doing it very parallel ways, because you need your alliance members to vote for you. You need your boys, your crew, your girls, the people to vote for you. And if you don't have any because you're playing the Lone Ranger, sure, it is easier to make it deep in the game that way, because no one's coming after you because you have no attachment. So why would they? They don't want to break it up. But how do you get votes at the end? And how do you actually – not even how do you get votes, because – You can win out or something. But, like, Godfrey didn't do that, and I don't think Johnny Mac's going to do that. I feel like what Johnny Mac has to do is, if he won HOH, he would have to take out a big, one of those big four I named, and then he would have to start building the resume with that being the first thing on it.
How does boys? I want to talk about, like, just for a second, juries or whatever. Is how do juries work? Like, say if, like you said, on Dan's season, like Dan, I believe again, like I watched, like I said, four episodes of season. I heard what happened this season. I believe from what I heard and I seen, just the fact he had Dan's funeral and stayed, like, to me, that's playing the best game of that season. Dan screwed over every single jury member for sure, like hands down.
But, I like this debate.
But as a jury, aren't you obligated? Like, well, you're not, I guess you're not obligated to anything, but like, wouldn't you want to have the best player win? Or would you be like, oh, like hold a grudge and be like, screw you?
Yeah, it's a very interesting topic, John. And I think Arlie and I know very well what it's like to be in jury because we were both.
I know where Arlie, like, Arlie had a. I thought his jury mindset was phenomenal. Like, where was your mindset in jury? Like, what was?
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, I think that Arlie and I both had a good outlook on things while being in jury because we were both the first jury members and we had the longest amount of time to get over everything that happened with our games. Now, I mean, I had 5 weeks, so I had a very long time. And for me, John, yeah, my outlook was I wanted to make sure that I was not viewed as a bitter jury member.
Was there anyone in your jury who was like, yeah, like, screw this person, they screwed us over? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think everybody, what it comes down to, and I think the thing with Dan not winning Big Brother 14 was really that after the Dan's funeral thing, yes, that was incredible. And that's probably arguably the greatest move in the history of, I mean, reality television. It's amazing what he did there. But it pissed off so many people in the process that they just were completely turned off from wanting Dan to win the game. And in order for him to pull it off, he would have had to sit next to somebody who wasn't really that likable. The problem with him was he was sitting next to Ian, somebody who's incredibly likable, a huge super fan. This kid is out there living his dream. And
genius.
Super smart kid. And he has the resume to back up the win. He had the competition wins. He knew what was going on. And that's why he won the game. Yes, Dan did an excellent job. And if it was me at home, I would have voted for Dan as well, but I didn't personally get screwed over like Dan did. So it's one of those things. Every jury is different, and
in a justice, every jury is the same. You go on the facts, you go on like guilty or not guilty. I think Big Brother jury should be best player or not best player. Like, it's almost like you should have to sign something to say anyways, no matter.
But it's situational every season because sometimes you cut someone so bad that you're not the best player in their mind. Like, in their mind, you're not. Because you cross – I'll use an example. Say someone's a super religious, like, lives and breathes the Bible. If you swear on the Bible to them because you know that they're going to eat it up and then – they look at that as like some crazy sin compared to someone else who wouldn't give a shit if they're not religious, then that to them could be like, they crossed a line that I'm not willing to, like, they could have won the game. Not if they did that though. Like,
but so see, what my thing is in like the justice, some of the matter say, if you were a homophobe,
this is Big Brother though. It's not like the justice.
Well, I'm just saying the best winner should win no matter if it's, you need to understand like in jury that it's a game.
The age old, here's an even harder question than the Dan one, the Dan Ian one, is, and I love this because like we can personally talk to the people a lot more about it. In season one, with Alec and Peter and Jury there, if it somehow got down to the final two that it was Tala versus Emmett, they all said they would have given it, well, Alec and Peter are adamant that the whole jury would have given it to Tala because of the way Emmett played the game. Which to me, I feel like would be a bitter jury, but that's
of course
still debate.
Of like, course, exactly. Of course. So Peter, now you are watching. Yes, you had the most bitterest jury ever.
But I also think like with the whole Russell Hant Survivor stuff too, it's like,
I don't know that.
I know, but it's the exact same scenario.
It's a similar thing, John. Yeah, there was this guy in Survivor, and he, this short little guy, and he backstabbed everyone, and everyone hated him, and he
made it
won
to finals two seasons back to back and came lost? In second.
Lost both times, yeah.
The thing for me is like, how does that happen? To me, what's the...
And he played the
best game.
To incorporate too that people underestimate once jury starts jury management. If you guys are saying every jury's different. Like, you need to be somewhat like to win the game pretty much. And your jury management is massive. Like, you need to make these moves, but also do your damage control before that person leaves. Like, it's a tough, and that's tough too.
Yeah,
like,
no, and I think you have you. We've seen that this season. The jury management, it's already started. I mean, we
so
saw.
Funny.
We see. Look, yes, right. I mean, you look at the difference in some of these goodbye messages. Right, earlier on in the season, Liz says to Jason, "Well, go have fun in your mom's basement. See you later." And then when Johnny Mac is going home, she's like, "Oh, I Johnny Mac, I didn't want. I wanted to work with you, and I'm so sorry." And
said that.
But that's the thing, right? So I mean, we could talk about this jury thing for days, and let's move.
What was Dan like after these people left? Like, was he like cool, like later?
No, Dan wasn't. I think just people felt like, I mean, they felt like they were swindled by him, kind of. And I just think that was
seemed like shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, man. And I think the problem is, you were talking about the justice system and stuff like that. And I think that the difference is that with, I mean, I guess in the legal system, you don't necessarily have all the facts either. But
jurors aren't getting screwed over by the prosecution.
Exactly. If anybody is directly involved in the case, sure, they're removed from it. They can't be.
The whole juror's family and then was on trial, like, all the jurors would probably want him in jail. Like,
the thing is, like, to expand on what John's saying, though, and Russell Hance also said this, too, I feel like the system is slightly flawed because...
The game is flawed, darling.
Like,
America should vote. I deserve to win. I'm the greatest player of all time.
Just like,
not Boston Rob.
It's the thing is with Russell, like, he even dragged a girl all the way to the end as his finals. That's why it's like he even played her whole game for her, and she got the win.
Okay, yeah, it's crazy. But hey, guys, let's move on from the Russell Hanson
stuff. This is
a great combo, but I know that I'm going to get people in the comments saying, where's the BB-17 talk?
Yeah, look at John Early's George Fish for 5 minutes. Like,
I'm down in the off season. Let's have one of these jury. Let's do our own separate podcast
Let's start it.
Well, let's do it. We'll do it in the off season. But let's take some questions here before we get out of here.
I love it.
We'll wrap this thing up in a little bit here. But okay, so if you want to tweet us your questions, again, use the hashtag RHAP.
Tweet questions now.
Yeah, using hashtag RHAP. So if you want to do that, or leave a comment on the YouTube video as well. So we've got a few questions lined up here already. So this first one, while John is tweeting, is from WallyOlly202, and he says, who's been more influential this season, Meg or Jace? Arley?
They're pretty equal, to be honest. Jace was only there a week, but people at least talked about him. Jace, the first person eliminated. And Meg, unfortunately, like, she seems like a sweet girl, but she hasn't done anything in the game. She's just like I explained to her, she got whirlwinded by the house, and that happens to certain players each season. And she's getting whirlwinded right now.
To me, I think you can't compare Jace to Meg's, because Meg's was an absolute outrageous, loud person the first week or two that someone wanted to go home. So for me, you can't compare Jace and Meg's game, because Jace went home week one because he was loud, he was obnoxious, he was an idiot. That's who wanted him out of the house.
But the question is, who's been more influential, John? Has it been Jace or has it been Meg?
Oh, Jace.
Code, man. You got
Hundo. The guy's killing on Twitter.
Oh, Jace is great. Follow him. I think he's at Nicola Poe. Jace is
Jace is great. We get tonight for real, like, from Daniel Reyes to...
Yeah, I mean, if there's somebody from space listening to this podcast, they know every single person now to follow on Big Brother.
And we're just going to have to be like, yo, shout outs from James.
I love Robin Cass.
Woo! Who else can we get? Nicki Minaj. Woo!
All right, there we go. Nicki Minaj. Maybe Justin Bieber has got that new song that came out. All right. Okay, Nate Hall. I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
See, Justin Bieber's new song is nothing important. Just talk about Justin Bieber's new song.
Gotta love Jay Beebs. He's great. All right. Nate Hall says, as much as I feel indifferent towards Meg on the show, I can't help but feel that, or can't help but wonder what her game may be like minus James. What do you think Meg's best course of action should be going from here? Arlie, let's throw it up to you. What do you think Meg should do going from here if James is indeed the target and he's the person who goes home this week?
Like, Meg needs to win her way to the end if she wants to win the game. That's the only way Meg's going to win. And I don't even know if that would make her win, to be honest.
I don't think it would either.
She has to win at least one competition every week, HOH veto, back to back, all the way to the end, and she might have a shot at giving a speech to win. I don't think she can win right now.
I think Meg's best bet is to 100% stick with James. I think she's better by association with James, and she is not.
What happens if he's gone, though?
Oh, if he's gone, then she's a sitting duck. Like, she's someone who's been in the house, has done nothing, and people are not even going to think about. She could win potentially again second place. Like,
yeah, totally.
I think in that scenario, yeah, I think you can just write the $50,000 check to Meg right now. If James
then again, we said that about Victoria too, and here was Cody getting the fight. Like, what did they get for second?
$50,000?
$50,000,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, 50, God, you lucky little buggers.
I still forget that Victoria didn't get second place.
I do, too. Yeah, it's crazy. I think I don't think that gets talked about enough as probably one of the worst moves ever with Cody taking Derek over. I mean, I understand it. He had this relationship with him, and I get it.
I don't understand anything. But at the same time,
it cost himself $450,000. I mean, that just...
When we watched that, because we were all watching that in LA in a big condo together, like
with, I was like
15, and like as soon as Cody won, I was just like, oh my God, what an epic win. Cody's just gonna take out Derek and win the whole game. And then he didn't, and I was like, what? Like, what does he think's going on?
How quiet that place was after Cody was like, oh, I take Derek. We were like,
what? Yeah, that was crazy. And I remember, it's funny, I actually remember, John, last year Netta was hosting the house guest hangout on globaltv.com, and you were the guest on the final show, and then it was like really loud in the background, and then all of a sudden Howie just broke through the door, and it was like, and he started dropping like f-bombs everywhere. That
was makes sense, bro. Like, Howie came, and buddy, we thought
Howie parties.
Buddy, Howie came in and didn't give two F's. Like, he came in with the F-bombs rolling, like, was just didn't care. Because to me, like, I was kind of like, I was like, Howie.
So funny.
What's so funny is he goes after the thing, he goes, oh, man, I'm so sorry, I didn't know it was live. Hey, what do you mean? So you came to a live broadcast, just started the F bombs talking about mothers. I was like, what is going on right now?
I love Hurricane Howie. He's so great. He's
I awesome. Love that you watched that, Jordan. That's so funny.
Yeah, I watched it.
That's weird to me. Like, that's weird.
I watched it in my room. I rewatched it like four times, and I called my little sister upstairs. I was like, Emma, come upstairs, because we both like loved Howie when he was on Big Brother 6. Yeah, it was awesome. I love that. And then just the reaction, Netta was just like rattling. What's going on here?
So great. Goes from like half smile to like 9/10. Like, I'm gonna kill everybody in here.
See, I never saw that podcast, but right after I heard all about it.
Man, it was so funny. Arlie, like, yeah, it was.
I definitely recommend, if you are listening to this podcast and you are a Big Brother fan, go try and find that, globaltv.com. Check out the House Guest Hangout. House Guest Hangout. I think it might be on YouTube still. It's
the finale.
It's amazing. The finale episode. Definitely check that out. It's awesome. Okay. All right. Let's take a couple more questions here. Let's see. This one comes from Patrick Killian, and he says, what do you guys think of the controversy over last night's HOH on Twitter and the redo the comp hashtag? Yeah, you guys saw this. So to fill in those of you who aren't aware of the situation, what happened was there's a little bit of controversy with Vanessa winning HOH because Julie stated the rules to the competition, and you could not sit on the discs at the bottom of the rope. And a few of the returning house guests that were trying to get back in were doing that. Jackie was one of them, and she got eliminated. Vanessa was seen when the feeds came back on. She had her feet on the bottom of the disc, and she was squatting down on the ground. So people were saying, oh, well, Vanessa deserves to be disqualified because of this, but she wasn't actually sitting on the disc. So I think it's the right call. Arlie, what do you think about that?
It's so close. Like, was her butt actually touching the disc or not?
It's close. I mean, there's a few. I don't think it was though. Her feet were clearly perched on the thing, like a bird.
Her feet could have been on and butt though. Like a girl could get down into a position.
But that's a gray area. Like if they say you're not allowed to sit on it, well, what's sitting? Like, are you sitting if your feet and ass are touching the ground?
I just feel like. If her, it's close from the picture I saw. I'm not 100% sure if her butt's touching, so I don't know. I'd have to see all the camera angles and everything. I'd have to get a clear reading of the rules, but it seems pretty clear that if you're sitting on the thing, that means you should be disqualified. Which in my mind means if your butt is touching it, not sitting. It just means if your butt is touching it. That's how I feel like Big Brother, or that's how if I was in the comp, I would play it as. I wouldn't risk anything. So I'd want to see exactly why the other people lost and exactly what Vanessa did. But since it's all on feeds and I don't know.
I'm with you. I think that it's one of those things. Hopefully we'll see it on the Sunday episode and we'll find out then exactly what happened. But it's just, it's tough. And also too, I think that a lot of people don't know this, and that is the house guests get read some rules before Julie reads the rules to them and it gets explained further. So who knows exactly what the definition of sitting was to the house guests, or they were even given that, or if maybe Jackie and those guys were given a warning for sitting. I don't know, but hopefully they'll explain that better on the Sunday show, and then we can reevaluate the situation from there.
Probably somebody like, oh
yeah, oh, I think
forget about it.
Right past it.
Yeah, clean sweeper.
Yeah, what redo the call pass?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Oh, and what up, Patrick? I see one of them on Twitter. Out. Thanks for the question.
All right, there we go. Okay. Let's see. Let's take.
Also, I heard Vanessa's making deals. Like,
yeah, Vanessa's been making lots of deals, and it's.
No, if Vanessa's making any deals with any sort of money, then Vanessa shouldn't be allowed to continue playing the game.
Oh yeah, what about
yes,
that?
Yes, yes, yeah, that's what we were talking about. Yeah, yeah, and that's something John and I were talking about pre-show. And yeah, so again, if you guys don't know, Vanessa was saying today, she was saying to the twins, "Oh, like, yeah, I'll buy you a car or something if I win," and all this other stuff. But Big Brother Canada house guests, I mean, for all of us, we all had to sign stuff saying we cannot make any deals with.
Same with U.S. Same with U.S.
And U.S. So I don't understand what's going on. But at the same time, like last week, we saw there was a few. And I was saying this to John earlier, that there was an instance where Vanessa was saying to Austin, OK, well, if I win, I'll give you $250,000 and then you can gamble it and we can quadruple the money or something like that. And then if you win the $500,000, you give me half of it. And then I'll go gamble it and I'll turn it into $1 million or something or whatever. And we'll have this deal and it'll be great. And then Liz and Julia were both saying, yeah, if we win, we're going to share the money. So there's been lots and lots of talk about this season, and production just doesn't really seem to care. But I don't know about you guys, but yeah, I kind of just think that's bogus, and I don't understand why Big Brother's letting this slide.
To me, it's a blatant that they really don't give a shit at all. Like, do not care.
The fact
there's people in that house making deals with, I don't even care. It was, you can't make deals with your money or your prize money. You can't buy people off in the Big Brother game. And as soon as people start doing that, then cool. The richest person wins the game. Congratulations. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I just think that, does it really just come down to them not caring, Arlie? Is that what it is?
They, like, honestly, CBS and the American Big Brother doesn't give a fuck about the loyal, hardcore feeder fans. They just like trying to grow the steady base of their 5 to 7 million an episode, because that's what the business of the show is. It's bogus. And a perfect example of that is the takeover. Big Brother claims every single year that everything is pre-planned throughout the season. Comps are pre-planned. Things are pre-planned throughout the season. You can't take away a season full of twists. All these twists are supposed to be pre-planned. You can't take away something that you've promised fans forever has been a thing. And then this year, you just one day, you're like, oh, there's too much good stuff going on feeds with the twin twists and the drama and everything going on at the beginning that we're just going to drop drop this season's twists. So that shows that it's not all pre-planned, and they clearly change things whenever they want. And it just shows that they don't respect the fans. If you're going to, because anyone that lies to your face doesn't respect you. And if CBS is going to be like, here is our twists and we don't change things, and then A, they change things, and B, they just completely altered the whole season because they wanted to change the dynamic of how it was going. I feel like it's just production bullshit, but that's because it's a TV show trying to make money.
But just to play devil's advocate, though, Arlie, don't you think that the season has been really good, in my opinion? Don't you think that if these takeovers would have continued, they would have had the twistiest season ever and all this crazy stuff was going on, that would have taken away from how good this season has been by just letting the house guests going in there and play?
I 100% agree that's what it would have done. But don't lie to me and tell me it's all pre-planned.
Hondo, just going to say.
I agree. It would have been the twistiest season ever. Don't plan it that way, first of all. It's stupid to plan a season having multiple twists every week or whatever they were going to do.
Right.
I think that was stupid. But they always tell us everything's all pre-planned. The comps are pre-planned. Like, that's what we hear all the time. If these twists were pre-planned and they took them away, that shoots a hole in that whole theory about everything being pre-planned. They just expose themselves that it's not pre-planned. That's what annoys me.
And that's, I 100% on board, 100%. You can't, like Arlie said, kind of have a seasons of twist, and then the minute it's not working, people don't like it, bam, back to normal. No,
and
they had takeovers planned for like 7-8 weeks, like, for sure.
And that, in my opinion, just shows that they'll throw in a twist if things are getting boring. Because if they'll take twists away if things are too exciting, why wouldn't they throw in a twist when things are getting boring?
Again, and
One sec, Sean. It just pisses me off that they don't openly say it. Because it wouldn't even bug me if they openly said it. Like, oh, it's a little less entertaining, we're going to throw in a twist. Kind of like Big Brother Australia and UK. They own that they control what happens. And if they don't want someone to win, they'll make the fans hate them and get them voted out. Big Brother US does that for sure too, but they just don't own it. And if they owned it, it would be so much more better on all the hardcore fans. But again, I said they don't care about us hardcore fans. They care about the 5 to 7 million and growing that.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% on board with Darley. And it's funny how, again, like, three of us will never, I'm pretty sure we'll never work on production for Big Brother ever. We'll never know exactly what goes down ever. Like, we can speculate all we want. But again, like,
I was talking about Big Brother US. Big Brother Canada, I don't think of the same.
I don't know. Like, to me, with what you're saying is that this in the American version is, like you said, them controlling that takeover goes to show, like you said, anything can be done, whatever production wants.
We can
speculate all day, but it's, again, I'm very impressed, guys. We're having some very insightful conversations here today. We're talking about juries, production. I mean, great. I love it. It's awesome.
The
Goof Troop is bringing it today. All right. So two more questions and then we'll get out of here. Okay. First one is from at MyBara13. Marissa, she says, Arlie, what was your full-time training regimen before going into the house?
Well, it was pretty intense, actually. Going back to think of it all, I was going on 10-mile runs 2 to 3 times a week. I was working out, like, full-body stuff 3-4 times a week. But then it was more like, I just had my cardio up really, really high. That was most important to me. I didn't want to put on muscle mass or anything like that. I just wanted to be trim for long, hardcore endurance competitions. So that's why I did that type of stuff. And, like, a lot of just, like, ellipticals and machine work stuff like that, because I wanted to get my body right. And I did a lot of yoga. I wanted to work out different muscles that I hadn't worked out, because I knew in competitions you'd be using different stuff you didn't normally use. So I did a lot of yoga. I did a lot of hot yoga. And then I trained my mind a lot. Like, I looked up a bunch of different comps, a bunch of different puzzles. I got different, like, I got a slide puzzle, figured out how to do one of those. I was taking, like, ice baths and cold showers, learning how to breathe and how to do math. And I was doing math, like, when I would be in cold showers and stuff, so I could use my mind in those situations. So, like, you actually know you're going to be doused with cold water in Big Brother. So I was doing a lot more things, though. I went back and I watched all the seasons, and I just watched in-depth gameplay and what went well for people and what didn't. And other than that, like, there was other things too that I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was a real intense, long process.
Now, John, what about you? Did you do, what was your training? Did you train or do anything before you went on Big Brother? And what would you suggest to people going on a Big Brother?
To me, it was funny. I'll throw another little story from earlier. We, me and Ken used to be one of the backyard. We used to go there one time, there back. That was one lap. We used to 25, like, every few days. Like, that was, we'd be bagged. It was a good time. So anyways, earlier was like, anyways, guys, I'm going to go for a run right now. So anyways, the guy goes out and he, the guy goes out anyway, and he runs. And he goes, I don't know. Hey, you're 25, boys. I'm bagged. It was after the show. I meet early. He goes, hey, remember that time I told you like I was bagged? I was 20. What?
I did. I couldn't tell it. I always had to work out secretly in the house. Like I very rarely did. But if anyone knew what I was capable of, like no one knew I could hold my own against Kenny or any of those in those comps, because I didn't want people to know that, but I didn't get the chance to reveal it. It sucked.
It was, yeah, but it was, but just the fact I didn't know, for me, I didn't do much. I didn't expect to ever be on the show. I didn't expect to ever. So to me, if I knew I was going to be on there, would have trained my ass off, would have done whatever it took to be prepared for it. But I never anticipated literally until the morning that I was taken to go to the house that I was going to go actually in the house. So
yeah,
there was no preparation for me. There was no, literally I stopped hockey a year and a half before and never touched a gym after my hockey career was done.
So, wow. So there you go. I mean, so it's interesting hearing that. Yeah. Cause like someone like Arlie prepares a lot for that. I did too. And then there's someone like you who's just, you know, you kind of just winged it and it worked out great for you. So, I mean, it's
you
just
a lot of odds in your favor too. Like you boys knew a lot and you were good game players too. But like, for someone like me, I think it's all about adaptation. I think if you're an adaptable person, like if you can like adapt to scenarios, and you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I think that's what Big Brother really comes down to at the end of the day, is adaptability. And if you got that going for you, you're way ahead of the game.
If you don't, really doesn't matter. I think if you can walk in there and adapt day to day, I think you're going to have just as much of a chance as anybody else. So if people don't watch the show, still apply, because you could get really nice bankroll. Like, it could be awesome.
And definitely, there's definitely tons of people who don't watch Big Brother that are listening to this podcast right now. So absolutely, definitely to go that way. Okay. We're done with the live questions. I've got one last question. It comes from the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. If you want to be a patron, of Rob as a Podcast, you can go to robasawebsite.com/patron. You find out some more information about that. Being a patron is awesome. You get to be in this cool little Facebook group, all this other great stuff. So definitely check that out. Okay. So this comes from Justin Brereton, and he says, hey guys, question for you. When Cindy returned to the game in BB Can 3, Kevin and Peely decided to take her out instead of cutting a deal with her. In Big Brother 17, Vanessa has instead decided to cut a deal with the returning player in Johnny Mac. Which is the better strategy when dealing with a house guest that comes back into the game? Arlie, what do you think, Arlie?
There's no better strategy. It's all situational. It all depends who comes back, who won HOH, what type of relationship you had with them before. There's so many, like, I get questions like this a lot by fans, and they want, like, does this work or does this work? And it's so situational. And like we talked about before, sometimes it works in a season where the person takes the reins from day one and runs with it. And like Derek, the whole way to the end and wins. And then most other seasons, you look at that strategy and it shoots them right in the foot early and they lose. And you're like, well, that's the dumbest strategy ever. But it wasn't for Derek. So it's all situational. Like, I like both moves, just depending on what type of relationship you have with them.
No, I'm 100% on board with Darley. I think everything in Big Brother is complete situational anyway. It's just like poker. It's no matter what hand you have, it's all about where you're positioned in order to make those moves. So I think with Big Brother, it's kind of the same thing. You give yourself the best odds in certain situations and hope it works out.
Absolutely. And I think, again, it comes back to that adaptability thing we were talking about early, John. And I think that, yeah, just depends on the situation for sure. Okay. So that's going to wrap things up for today's Big Brother Happy Hour. Thank you. Yes, we're wrapping up the happy hour. So thank you guys so much for joining me, John, Arlie. I really do appreciate you guys coming on. It was awesome getting the chance to just chat with you guys. It's been great. Do you have anything you want to plug before we get out of here, John?
I just want to say how good of a guy Arley is. You know, he always gives his best in everything he does. He's always 100%, whether it's just talking, whether it's using the bathroom, he's always 100%. And that's what I respect in a guy. Like, that's what I respect in a guy. And he's one of the, you know, the guy I look up to, and he's one of the best. And I'm really thrilled to call him one of my friends.
All right. So I guess I got to return it. All I really have to say about John is, honestly, I was never joking when I said that he smells on feeds and stuff. Like, he stinks. It's horrible.
Oh,
and he's a big idiot. He's a big idiot, like 99% of the time.
All right. Wow. Okay. That's such kind words for the winner of Big Brother Canada 2. The JP that doesn't suck, but apparently he smells, though, according
he
to
smells.
Harley. So there
John
we go.
Stinks.
Okay. Yeah, actually, I remember you tweeting out a picture one time and seeing your contacts in your phone.
I was just
John,
pulling it up to show
yes,
you.
Yeah,
so
John is
funny.
My smelliest friend is John.
I don't know if you'll be able to see it.
Yeah, no, can't really see it. But for the yes, if Arlie, if you want to go back and creep Arlie's Twitter. Oh, there it is. John, my smelliest friend. There it is. Okay, Arlie, let's see.
John, my smelliest friend. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's amazing. All right. Okay. Well, thank you guys again so much for tuning in. If you want to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and support us, you can do so by going to robhasawebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. Or you can subscribe to Reality TV Rehap Ups, and you can get this show along with the Bachelor in Paradise Rehap Up. You can get There's Amazing Race Canada shows. No, I'm not doing that one. There's two other girls do that host that show. I am going to be a guest on that podcast this Tuesday, I believe. So,
how good looking are the girls?
Oh, Bachelor in Paradise, or who on the podcast or Bachelor in Paradise?
I don't know.
Both.
I don't know what he's referring to.
All of the girls.
Every girl.
I think all of the girls are gorgeous. I just love women. Arlie, they're just like they're like Skittles. You know, I love them all. Every color of the rainbow.
For president, comparing girls to Skittles, I love it.
All right,
you just want to eat them all.
Yeah, that's true. You just want to eat them all. Oh man. All right. Okay. So, and also, if you want to subscribe to Reality TV Rehap Ups on YouTube, that would really support us as well. And if you like this podcast, give us a thumbs up, leave us a comment, let us on the robhasawebsite.com, let us know how we did. And also, guys, make sure you leave a rating and review for this podcast on iTunes. That really helps the show grow. So yeah, if you want to give it 5 stars, or if you want to give it 1 star, whatever it is, just let me know what you think. Leave a review, leave a rating, and everybody who does that, I'm going to throw your name in a hat at the end of the season. I'm going to pull one name out. I will do a 30-minute Skype call with the person that wins that contest. So that should be a lot of fun. We can talk about anything. We can talk about juries. We can talk about casting. We can talk about production, whatever you want. We'll talk about whatever you want. It's going to be great. And just a programming note, next week I'm going to be traveling. It's Labor Day weekend coming up. Arlie and I are going to be going to Kelowna with some Big Brother alumni. It's going to be a lot of fun. So yeah, so it's going to be great, but the show will not be live as a result of that. So just look for that in the podcast feed. Make sure you subscribe. That way you won't miss it. And hopefully we'll be good to go live the following week. Okay, guys, we need a hashtag for this episode, just so that way people can tweet us after and let us know what they thought about the show.
Hashtag eat the Skittles.
All right.
Eat the Skittles.
Okay, so it's hashtag eat the Skittles. And I was also thinking hashtag Chia Pet in response to Arlie's
like
beard. Okay, so all right. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. For Arlie Chaban and the JP that doesn't suck, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag eat the Skittles. Hashtag Chia Pet. I'll talk to you soon. Peace out.